Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain, where we talk about blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, why it matters to you. And also, you know, the show was kind of morphed a little bit, Phil, since we first started. Now we talk about AI, machine learning, emerging technologies.
Robotics.
Man, we always got something interesting going on. As always, joining us from the New Jersey studio, we have Sierra Catalina. Sierra, how are you?
I am wonderful. Just had a nice long holiday weekend. And
do anything fun? Great.
No. I just relaxed, and that was fun in and of itself.
Yeah, that's pretty good. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs some of that in their life. Yeah, it's been a good holiday weekend down here on the Gulf Coast. We haven't don't want to jinx us, but we're into September without any storms so far this season, Phil. So that's a good start.
Well, there's a storm.
Better knock
coming
on some wood.
Yeah, well, I got a hard head up here. I want to knock on that.
Well, there is a storm coming.
Not here, though, is it?
A little bit of one, I think. Yeah, some. Just some.
I saw this great bit this comedian did. Said the reason we name hurricanes and don't name, like, tornadoes and stuff is so that we can, like, humanize them and discount them and be like, oh, Debbie, I ain't worried about Debbie. Debbie's going over there next door. It's like, because we're just so used to having storms down here on the coast.
Well, tornadoes are inside the hurricanes. They don't last long enough. They come by for a couple of minutes, and then they're gone.
That's true. Sierra, tonight on the show, I want to talk, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about XTV,
oh, yeah,
what it is, what it means, and how you are, best I can tell, the human that broke the news. Yes. Would that be interesting?
Sure, let's talk about it.
I know you had a bit of an experience with it, you know, so that'll be something fun to talk about. As we talk about what's going on in the world of crypto, you know, the stock market is down of fortune today. Everything is red.
Why?
You know, I don't know. Well, I'm not a... I don't pay attention to that stuff well enough to actually know, but I did see that it is tragically not in a good spot. But like we always talk about, like the stock market being down 2% is no big deal to people that pay attention to crypto, because we're used to going up 10%, down 10% in an hour, you know.
It's more exaggerated even than the stock exchange.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's see. Bitcoin is sitting at 56.6 right now, which last time we were here, it's down 4%. So, you know, that's probably more than the market. Let's go check out Coinbase real quick. I do know that, you know, we talk about HNT a lot. Which is the Helium token. And let's see.
Oh, Helium had some news last week.
They did. Tell us about that. And I'll give the people the next update.
So payments for carrier offload data are now live. And what that means is people who have Helium gateways that are servicing the public can actually be paid by the carriers for the data that they're offloading. So it's a pretty big deal for anyone that has a Helium mobile hotspot in a highly trafficked area or an area that sees a lot of network traffic. They should start seeing some nice paydays soon. So that was the entire a big goal of the project, and it's really
yeah, it's
going to
be some good rewards. And, you know, the rest of the market's down. Helium's up 2% since the last time we were on air. In the past month, Helium is up 48.71%, which hard to find that in the traditional market. Mobile, which is their mobile carrier that we were just talking about, that is actually up 3.6% just today. So while the rest of the market's doing what it does, you know, some cryptos that live in this world we call DePIN, this decentralized physical infrastructure network, seem to be either holding steady or performing just fine. So, you know, it's exciting to watch for the people that follow the show and follow some of the projects we've talked about. All right, we're going to go to break. Sierra, when we come back, let's get into XTV, what it means, how you broke the news, and how everybody is just stealing your content.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain here on 106.5 FM Talk. As far as we know, we may be your only terrestrial radio show in the country talking about blockchain technology and emerging technology such as AI and machine learning. I don't know. Maybe there's another one out there, but if there are, we can't find it. So if you got one in mind, send it to us. We'd like to be their sister show, I guess, whatever you want to call it. Before the break, we were talking about XTV being launched. Ooh, it's a new thing.
Ooh.
So joining us, he wasn't here for the first segment, but joining us now is Peter Toller, the crypto arborist.
Welcome,
Peter.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. So we got, you know, Sierra's out in the New Jersey studio, and she is the one that actually broke the news on X about XTV. Sierra, tell us a little bit about that process, how you found out about it, and then what's happened since, because it's been kind of been a little bit of a whirlwind, actually.
Yeah, so I found out about it a little by accident. I usually cast content, like long-form video content to my TVs from X to watch it that way, and I actually have my laptop like hardwired and was watching a video that some folks on the platform did. They went down to the southern border to expose what is really going on down there, and it was about a 30-minute long video, so I hooked up my laptop with my HDMI and was watching it on the big screen, and I posted that. And it made me think to search yet again. I've looked in the past for the X app on the TV. And there it was. So I snapped a quick pic and posted that XTV was live. So this is a new dedicated video platform. It is not the same as just having the X platform on your TV. It's purely video content. It's connected to your X account, so you'll see content from people that you follow. It's got suggested content and then kind of what's trending. But you can also search by creator, and it gives like a channel type view, not dissimilar to that of YouTube. So really exciting. But a lot of
that's really cool.
But do you still have to kind of have like a paid account to get anything over 90 seconds?
I don't believe so. So I am a premium plus subscriber, so it's hard for me to speak to what the not premium plus subscriber experience is like. Like I did link it to my account to log in, but the XTV account itself was or app was free to download, and I don't think that my experience is any different. Maybe I won't have ads. Oh, maybe you'll get the ads. Yeah. Which will be great, actually, for the platform. They can get more advertisers.
So I think this is really interesting. You know, you broke the story yesterday. Here on X Now, Elon Musk, as most people know, is the owner of X. He 2 hours ago, he tweeted that TV app beta rolling out, and he quote tweeted X engineering. So, Sierra, I think you beat Elon's official announcement by like a full 30 hours. So, you know, it's impressive.
I might have, I feel like I might have discovered it by accident. They totally were not ready to launch this, although it's running really smoothly, but they are pretty good about their formal announcements and the fact that my kind of shoddy picture with my reflection in it because it was sunny in the room is the one that went viral.
That's my favorite part of this whole thing. My favorite part of this whole thing is we can tell who stole your content because your reflection is actually in the picture.
Yes.
That everybody keeps sharing. So it's like, oh, where'd you get this image? This wasn't from Sierra's phone. As we see Sierra in the reflection.
Her famous quote is, because stealing content is not cool.
That's right. Stealing content is not cool.
Right, Sierra?
Content is not cool. Yeah, guys. We don't steal content.
I just responded to Elon, Sierra. I just responded to Elon and said,
wandering whale or something?
Sierra Catalina 1 said it first.
Oh, my God, no.
No, I mean, I did. So, I mean, that just happened.
He has the evil grin on his face, too, right now.
Oh, always. Yeah, I mean, he's like Tony.
Well,
he's like Tony Stark.
He'll probably never see it.
Were you trying to say that Elon doesn't pay attention to my post? Like, come on, man.
Pays attention.
I mean,
to
I can't
posts.
Get him to pay attention to mine.
yeah, but you don't have these luxurious curly locks like I do.
Well, now you have a blue check, so your odds are.
That's true. I'm blue checked up, so there's no telling now. All right, so you post this and you tell everybody that XTV is live. How many times has this post been viewed? How many times has it been quoted, retweeted, stolen? Like, what is the number there? Because I know it's a really big number.
So it's been viewed like 800,000 times.
That seems like a lot to me. That seems like a lot to me.
It's been reposted 499 times, but it's been stolen like 65 times.
Can you see how many times it's been stolen?
By some major media outlets.
So yeah,
and international media outlets too.
So Peter asked a question: how can you tell how many times it's been stolen? How did you? I saw the video you posted, but how did you run that down?
First I was just I was seeing it all over the platform. I just kept seeing it, and what's sad, and like not really, and it's kind of a fault of the X platform right now. What's sad is the bigger accounts that stole it from me quickly exceeded my reach, so they got like a ton more views with my post than I did pretty quickly. So then the stolen posts were generating more traffic than mine. But the way that I found that, like, other media, so I was on LinkedIn today and I saw it, and then someone else tagged me in it on LinkedIn, and I just thought, let me just do a quick Google search of like XTV. And sure enough, I saw quite a few press releases that used my original image. And then I was like, let me reverse image search this real quick.
There
so
you
I
go.
Took my original image and I threw it into Google, and it found
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good technology.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. It's great. If you have an Android phone, you can do it from inside your camera app, like just from inside Google Photos. I use Google Lens on everything.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't tried that yet. I was thinking about that.
It's pretty great technology. If you're like, hey, I like that person's shoes, you can just like pull out your camera and use Google Lens and you figure out where they bought their shoes. And it'll pull up sites for you to buy it right now.
Wow.
That was pretty good. And so we've got 65 thefts, many of them with accounts over a million followers. So basically these people are stealing hundreds of dollars worth of ad revenue from you, right? Maybe thousands.
Yeah, potentially thousands. Some of the bigger accounts, so mine has like 800,000 views on it, but some of the accounts that stole it have over 2 million views each.
Wow.
It made it into all those like actual media outlets. Press releases as well. What's hilarious to me is that, like, it's honestly not even a great picture. Like, I just was super stoked to share the news, so I snatch a pic real quick.
Yeah, it's definitely off the cuff from my phone in front of my TV. Like, I'm excited to see it, which may also be why people are intrigued by it, because it's very authentic. It doesn't come off as a staged release from X. But
maybe, but it does beg the question. In 2024, like, y'all didn't even go make sure it worked on your own TV, and then we wonder how misinformation gets spread. Like, what if, just what if, that wasn't real?
Well, and that's a big what if, considering how easy it is for us to create images that are not real. I think one thing that we should do is we should do a test with Grok and other AI imaging and say, can you make a picture of a TV with the person taking the picture as a reflection in the TV?
Let's do that right now.
That would be an interesting experiment.
Let's try it out.
We'll see what happens. We're going to try it out.
Show me a picture of a T of what?
All right, so.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my image, my original image, and I'm going to throw it into Midjourney, and I'm going to use the describe feature. And what that's going to do is spit me back out a text prompt that describes what it's seeing. It'll actually give me 4. This is my biggest cheat for, like, recreating actual images with AI. And then I'm going to take those prompts and dump them back into, I don't know, all my image generators. So.
Sierra, what's your go-to image generator on AI?
That is a tough question. It really depends on for what. I like Grok a lot, which uses Flux for its underlying generation technology. Flux is really hyper-realistic human portraits.
Interesting.
I like Midjourney a lot for scenic stuff and also for architecture. Midjourney is pretty good at architecture. I like GPT, well, DALL-E, which you can prompt through GPT for, if I need clear text in the image that I'm generating. It's pretty good at making sure you get accurate text output.
Interesting. Okay.
I think what's interesting to me is all these different protocols or projects all have their own strengths and weaknesses. And one thing we can get into after we come back from the next break is the fact that X has just added 100,000 NVIDIA units into their AI to what's going to be Grok 5.0, I think. Is that right, Sierra?
That's right.
So you're gonna have 100,000 units, plus they say they're gonna double it up. They think they're gonna have 200,000 NVIDIA units running Grok, and the next closest competitor I think is OpenAI that has 15,000 units. So you can talk about the speed that AI can train, can develop. Like, you're gonna be looking at like 15x, right?
I put Grok through the ringer this week in the tree care world.
It's going to be the largest supercomputer, I believe, in existence right now. No, don't say Skynet. We don't say Skynet.
Somebody's got to keep an eye on this thing. I'm sorry, Peter, what were you saying? You put Grok through the ringer.
Put Grok through the ringer this week in the world of trees. Okay. Sierra, I'll provide you some of the feedback. It didn't do too well this week.
Yeah, I think it really depends on what you're asking it. Sometimes, like, one of the things that Sierra actually taught me is Grok is not yet very good at hyper-localized content.
Mm.
It's very good at general knowledge content. I asked it to give me recommendations on places to eat if I were a local here in town, and it gave me some just kind of – it read like an article from Southern Living on somebody that – visited for a weekend but had never lived here.
Right.
So it gave me like a B+ answer of like, so if somebody from Southern Living came and just wrote an article because they spent a weekend here, but it didn't give me like if I actually lived here going to Callahan's or going, you know, to some of the places I might go individually rather than just what the tourists tell you to do.
So if I can ever contribute to X, which I think we know somebody that could open that door, what I tried to do this week, I would give it prompts to say, I'm in front of this tree. It has fungal fruiting bodies. It's got deadwood. It's got this. It's got this. There was no way to prompt it to go into a database of standards like on OpenAI. Like, I'm sure X or Grok will eventually have it to where you can feed it certain information that it can feed off that, and then the internet that will put it in real world practical use.
So when you're dealing with OpenAI, you get a better practical response on.
Yeah, simply because I was able to feed it information first.
Oh, you were training it yourself.
Correct.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's all. A lot of what this is about is training it. So when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we'll probably talk more about X and AI and some of the fun stuff's going on. And then I know Peter's got a project we're going to talk about too. So we'll see you on the backside of the break.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall. We got Philip on the boards, keeping us between the white and the yellow as always. Philip, great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've got Peter Toller, the crypto arborist in studio with us. And from the New Jersey studio, we've got Sierra Catalina One, the person that broke the XTV app news and is currently getting ripped off by all these other media outlets who won't give her the proper credit.
Yes.
You know, we just say what we think on the show. We don't really hold back.
Need reimbursement.
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of reimbursement for that.
Remuneration.
Remuneration. Reparations, even.
And reparations, even.
Oh, my.
Reparation. It's like the triad of, you know, but let's move on. Anyway. So we were talking before, Peter, all right, off the air, we were talking a little bit about how you trained OpenAI to work on some of your arborist projects, and we kind of had a little discussion with Sierra off the air. Let's bring that discussion back on the air. Tell me exactly what you're trying to do, how you're training it, and what results you've seen by training the OpenAI.
In AI, in real world use, in any professional trade, there's a set of standards that you go by, and there's just any documentation that you would normally use that would sit on a bookshelf that you would go out and find your problem to go back and research and study. Well, in AI, as Sierra, who is the expert in this, would say, you have to properly train it. So on the OpenAI website, I was actually able to upload all those documents into the AI to train it, to give it an accurate
kind of understanding of the state of the
industry. Well, to give
industry.
It, and you're giving it context.
Correct,
so
yes.
Just to be clear for our listeners, the only people that can actually train the AI models themselves to change their behavior are those who are working on them. But you can give it background context, which you should do as often as possible. So if you're looking for a specific answer on a really narrow topic or a niche industry, you should feed it as much background context as you can before asking your question. And in the instance of like OpenAI's ChatGPT, or I think most of them now, honestly, have local memory, you will effectively be kind of training your personal AI in that it will retain memory of that information, and it can actually help it scrape the web more effectively in the future for topics.
And that is desktop only, correct, where you can train it, right?
Well, so again, nobody can like actually train it other than
feed it context,
the people building. Oh, no, you can do that anywhere. You can do that on mobile. You can, I think I found it's easier on desktop with, if we're talking about ChatGPT. Actually, you can attach files and web links on mobile for ChatGPT too, or you can just copy and paste, like dump in long form content. You can even just drop links in there and tell it to go read them, and say like familiarize yourself with the context of these links, and let me know when you're finished, and it will respond immediately, obviously, because it processes much faster than we do. But if you do it that way, they're still a little finicky, a lot of the models, with web links. So if you are feeding it links rather than long-form text, like I usually will just go to the link and copy all of the text and then paste that in there and send it and ask questions about it. If you are giving it just links, follow up and ensure that it actually read them. Like, ask it for like a summary of the links that you've provided, and then you can go on and continue to ask your information or your questions from there.
That's good to know.
Yeah, and like everything else in this industry, it's going to adapt and change and only get better. Probably weekly. I saw this post on X the other day, and it was talking about how fast AI is changing. And I made the comment that I think AI is changing weekly what most industries wish they could do in a year. Mm. Like the level of adaptation, the level of growth, the level of sophistication is just moving at a rate that I don't think many people can comprehend. And when you start to add that in with the robotics that we're seeing, I mean, there's, was it X1 Sierra that released the video of their robot where everyone on the internet was like, this is a human in a suit. And they were like, nope, this is a robot.
So a company called 1X released about a week ago now a humanoid robot designed specifically to be helpful in the home. And yes, there was a lot of feedback from the initial demo video.
So
human in its interaction that people
So the founder of that company posted about it, and he said one of the things he said was we've made certain to ensure that this robot is safe for human interaction. And my response to him was, can you describe to me what you mean by
unsafe?
Safe for human. Like, what do you mean it's safe for human interaction? Because that leads me to believe that there are some activities that are not safe. Like, will this thing choke me to death in my sleep?
Breaking
routine. Well, so it is, I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm nearly positive. Let me confirm that it's hydraulic power and that it has a softer exoskeleton than like your full-on metal robot, so perhaps that's
I feel so much better now.
Well, there is a robot I'm gonna plug them, I love them so much. There's a robot company called Clone Robotics that if you want to see some freaky human-like robotics,
are they on X?
They are, and I love Clone so much, but I have two lists that I put robots on when I think about them, and those lists are runnable or outrunnable and like totally not outrunnable. And I'm going to be real with you. The Clone Robotics products are definitely leaning towards the totally not outrunnable. However, I once said something like that in a post that they shared, and one of the founders commented that I'm making air quotes right now, skin could be pierced with you might have said a spoon, but I'm going to say a fork just to cover my bases. And that was hydraulic fluid based.
I just always go back to that line in Westworld, which was written by Michael Crichton in the early 1970s, turned into a TV show on HBO maybe 10 years ago. But this person asked this humanoid, whatever it is,
the farmer's daughter,
are you real? And she says, if you can't tell, it doesn't matter.
What?
Yeah.
The farmer's daughter that ruled.
World we're going to be in. Where literally the humanoid tells you, like, if you can't tell if I'm real, does it matter?
Whoa.
I put that in my article on anthropomorphism, and I thought of you when I did it.
Where's your article, Sierra?
Read that.
On X. I'm pretty much exclusively on X and FM radio once a week on Tuesday.
That's very true. You're on terrestrial radio going out over the airways the same way we've been doing for 100 years. We're so antiquated and so old school.
Oh, here it is, the double-edged sword of AI.
Yeah.
Anthro.
So, Peter, one of the things you'll notice from that article is Sierra refuses to use uppercase letters. Huh. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just her thing.
Really? We never talked about this?
We've never talked about this. But as I read it, I was like, Sierra hates an uppercase. I don't know what it is.
Wow. I use them for acronyms and the letter I. The I is because I don't like the way the lowercase I looks, and that's merely it, or it would be 100% lowercase for me. I started doing it years ago. I guess I can share this now because so many people do it. But I started doing it so that I would always recognize my own writing in digital form. So, like, you know how we have our own handwriting, and you can look at a note and be like, yeah, I wrote that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I can look at things that I wrote digitally on the internet and easily go, yeah, I wrote that, or no, I didn't write that, because I have certain stylistic things.
Couldn't I just take that writing, put your text in a AI and say, can you please capitalize all these letters that should be appropriately capitalized?
So there's, like, no reason for it, though. Really, the capital letters are pointless. Except for acronyms.
You know what? It's the patriarchy. It's the patriarchy trying to hold us down. That's what capital letters are.
Yeah, you didn't need them. Like, anytime anyone tries to argue a case for capital letters, like, I'm sorry, you're just, you've been indoctrinated. It's not true. You don't need them.
I feel the same way about Social Security numbers.
If you use punctuation, you're good.
And KYC and crypto.
Yeah, and KYC. I feel the same way about that. Like,
we got a giggle out of that.
Yeah, and fingerprints, right?
Right.
Like, you know, overrated. Iris scanning. Now that's the future. You know, I'm being honest with you. If I never had to remember a password again, and it could just scan my iris and give me access to my account, I would take the risk that somebody would cut my eyeball out to get my passwords.
Just get a new link.
My information is not worth cutting my eyeball out for.
Right.
I'm not that important that you want to come cut my eyeball out.
That's right.
I just want the convenience of access to my account.
Having all 10 fingertips being required, that would still be better than 2 eyeballs.
Wow. That's a fair debate to be had when we come back from the break.
No capital letters. I got to go home and spread the word about this because everybody at the house is going to wig out.
It's a real thing.
All right, here we go, guys.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall. We're talking about blockchain technology, talking about AI, we're talking about X, formerly known as Twitter. Peter Toller is here with us in studio, the crypto arborist. We were talking about some arboristic ideas earlier. Sierra Catalina out of the New Jersey studio, as always, giving us the latest updates on X. And she's our resident technology expert. And we were like, I don't really know what this means. She's always there to be like, oh, I think what you're asking is. So, Peter, as we go into our last segment, tell me what's going on with you, what you got going on, and what are you into right now?
So right now on X, if you follow me, you'll see that I'm posting about a DeFi project called Mintstake Share. And on the Crypto Arborist YouTube channel, I've had the last probably 5 or 6 videos have been about it, but it's a DeFi protocol, or a DApp as people call it, and it pays 2% interest compounded daily. And now what they're doing, they have absolutely taken off. Something that's been interesting since I last talked to you, there was an exploit on the protocol, and the founder actually sealed the exploit and made the protocol even stronger, and the liquidity is actually holding on very nicely. Let me pull some stats up here to be real quick. Right now on Mint, Stake, and Share, The total supply right now is still 33 million. It actually has gone down because we've been burning tokens. And the whole thing to, let's see, that's the wrong page. We are at 27 million Mintstake share that have been locked away. But here's what's interesting. So last time when I told you about it, there was a byte tax and a sell tax on the protocol.
Sure.
Well, the founder, they're about to expand to the base blockchain, and they're introducing a thing called crypto lending. It's where you can take your profits out of Mintstake share and you can deposit it into this what's called a sustainability pool. And then you can either, and once you put, once you pull it out, you can convert it in basically into what's called a Mintstake share stable coin. And then you can swap that out for regular stable coin and put it out into real world use.
So just swap it out for USDC or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And that way there's no sell pressure on the asset. And then they, and this is similar to Drip token. I don't know if people out there listening are familiar with that.
Tell us about it.
But they, that once you convert it into MUSD, they have another portion of it to where you can actually lock the token up and you earn rewards in what's called MQTY. And then once you stake that, it pays you back into the stable coin. So it's basically a never ending loop to where you can earn money. And the loan that is taken out is a 0% loan that essentially what they're doing is they make it to where there's no sell pressure on the token. So as the token inflates because it produces new tokens every day, it's not dollars that produce, they have to figure out, they've figured out a mechanism to not create sell pressure on the token. Very fascinating project.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. I need to dive into it more to learn more, but I'm always interested in these new projects that are trying to create new avenues. The Walt Disney Company has this great expression that says creativity is thinking new things, but innovation is actually doing new things. And so I'm always interested when people are doing new things to try and learn more about that. And it seems like the type of thing that I should learn more about, because I think, and for our listeners also, they should learn more about it. It seems like it's something that is too hard for us to really comprehend in a 2-minute conversation.
Yes.
So
go on my YouTube channel. I've got several videos about it.
People want to learn more about it. Where do they need to go?
Go to search up The Crypto Arborist on YouTube and look at the three last videos that are on there. It talks a whole lot more about it. I've got a link tree that gives the protocol's official links. They're going to have an AMA Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every week, I'm telling you, this is probably one of the most transparent protocols that I've been a part of. What's really neat about it is they have a referral system. Like, say, if you get Sierra to get into this protocol, you get a percentage off when she converts her BNB into Mintstake share. And then every day you have a choice. You can either compound at 2% or claim at 1%. And if she compounds every day at 1%, you get paid 1% of the value of what she's actually compounding. So this guy basically designed this to where every interaction in the protocol, the referral system, you're getting paid a certain amount. And what's even neater is there's a downline on it to where when you get two or three layers deep in certain parts of it, you're still making money off of it.
Interesting. Yeah, like you said, I'd like to learn more about it. I don't know enough to know other than I like innovation. I like when people are doing new things. And so it seems like something that's pretty interesting that I should spend more time learning.
I'm trying to diversify myself more in the DeFi world because just with a short amount of time spent in it, there is so much potential for residual income. It is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of people want, right? They want to find a way to use their money to put processes in place to help them provide. It's no different than people that buy, real estate or rental homes, or, you know, they're looking for ways to utilize that capital.
And for the for the listeners right now, follow me on X. Go to PT Arborist, A-R-B-O-R-I-S-T.
Yeah, you got to spell arborist because
it's
not a normal word.
The handle is PTARBORIST. If you go on my profile right now, I just did a very basic post of my link tree. Go to the link tree and go and look at the top five or six links on there. That's my social media. You'll see a link that takes you into MindStake Share, and the other protocols are there as well. There's one more that next time I come, we'll talk about it, Scott. And there's two more that I'm looking into now.
Cool. Well, you know, we appreciate you being on the show and enjoy it when we get a chance to visit with you. Sierra, any parting thoughts before we head on into next week? Before we do that, I should let everyone know, next week's show will probably be recorded in advance because next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock is the presidential debate between former President Trump and current candidate Vice President Kamala Harris, so we don't expect the people will actually listen live.
Ah.
So we'll probably record that one in advance.
Make sure you subscribe to Sierra's X account.
That's a great suggestion.
I'm going to do the same because she puts out some great content on AI. Sierra, I'm going to start leveraging your teaching. You put a lot of good content, provide a lot of value out there. So make sure, guys, go hit her subscribe button. It's only $2 a month. I mean, my gosh, that's cheap. Give her. Hey, everybody, go hit it right now.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You put a lot of work into it. You can tell.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to educate or try.
All right, folks. As Peter said, go check out Sierra Catalina 1 on X. And join us next week on Beyond the Blockchain. Like I said, probably not live, but, you know, we'll see.
I'll leave you with this. One day my X account will be as cool as Sierra's.
That's a tough challenge.
Maybe.